Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you virtual Radioland peeps, my home dogs from all over the world. I had an exceptional week with, you know, lots of big changes and super excited about today's radio show. We're going to chit-chat about relationships, which is something I'm just learning about after being partnered for 15 years. So feel free. Join in on the conversations. We're just going to open up the phone lines and have an open chat. The number here is 347-205-9443. And we're kicking it up with some sunshine here in the Seacoast. Looking very, very, very much. I'm so wanting to dig in the garden. I am jonesing to get into the dirt and plant some flowers. It'll be awesome. Amy, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Good afternoon.
So what's shaking with you? What's the latest and greatest in our world of crazy, busy publicity stuff?
I have some changes in my life, too, and now that I've gotten permission.
You can be public.
I can be public with it, that I'm going to be a grandmother. So
high five, baby two.
I'm very excited about the new baby coming, and for Jamie and Erica, they're going to be wonderful parents, so I'm very blessed and very excited, as you know, how much I love babies.
Yes, I can't wait to get a hold of those baby toes. Oh. So can you give us a shout-out one more time on the 8th Chakra event at the Regatta?
That would be on April 21st from 10 to 4. I believe it's only a few bucks to get in.
Yeah, the proceeds were going to
a charity. I'll check on what exactly that is for next time. And I will be there with Earth Energy as well with Rusty with the Blog Talk radio show. So If you've ever wanted to put a face with the voices, you may come and see us and talk to us. And if any of you are interested in being a guest on our show, come and sign up.
Absolutely. And for those of you that have been anticipating my book, it is 3/4 of the way done, so it should be out this summer, and I'll keep you abreast about that exciting news because I already have people clamoring for it, so that'll be super exciting. And what was the other thing I wanted to update everybody on? Good gravy. I'm getting old. Let's see. I have to... Oh, next week we have Roxy, one of my bestest friends in the whole wide world. She is a famous author. She writes about mythology and ghost lore in New England. She's been on many TV shows. She's also a TV show host for the Power of One series, which I was blessed to be on to talk about my journey through celiac disease and why I life coach and that sort of thing. So she'll be on next week, and then the week after, we're going to hang out with a young lady named Anne, who is a shamanistic diviner. I don't know if I said that right. My southern slash Yankee kind of gets it all confused with the tongue. And that'll be interesting because she invited me to do a divination, which I'll keep you posted as to what that means and what that is, this crazy land of really cool things happening. So, I personally want to introduce to you my buddy OT. OT, are you out there in Never Never Land?
I am here. Hello.
Hello, buddy. How was your day?
It's been a good one. It's busy, of course. There's tons of things going on in my life as usual, but it's always a good day when I can at least get something done that gets me closer to the goal.
Amen, brother. Now, give us a little bit of a lowdown of who you are and what you do and how you and I connected, and then we have your friend Naima on the other line, and we're going to give a shout-out to her, too.
Okay, sure. Well, I also host a show on Blog Talk Radio with Naima called Not Your Typical Radio Talk, and basically outside of that, my professional background is in psychology. I'm completing a PhD in international psychology right now. So a lot of what we focus on our show is our personal life experiences with relationships. And, you know, I try to throw in a little bit of my expert opinion, if I could use that term loosely, whenever I can, which always makes for good conversation because Naima hates my expert opinion. So it keeps the show really interesting.
Well, you have to have that yin and yang balance. Amy and I are definitely yin and yang when it comes to the radio show, too. She's very, I'm very, like, river, whatever, let's have a conversation. And she's the one who writes down all the questions and is very, you know, like the... Her nickname is Mama Bear for a reason,
right?
So you have to have that balance to have a great radio show, and I actually enjoy listening to your shows. So that's one of the largest reasons why you are here today, because I think the balance is going to be really good. So, Naima, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, one, I want to thank you for having us on your show. We definitely appreciate that. OT and I are best friends. And we kind of decided to do the show, he didn't mention, because we feel like we have so much fun talking to one another that we were going to share our insight with the world. So because we have fun on the phone and just kind of chit-chatting and laughing it up, we thought it would be a good experience to share that with the public. I am a sales executive, and I've been doing that for a little under 10 years. I did some modeling back in the day. Not trying to age me, but I did a little modeling back in the day, whatever that is. Let's just call it 2 years ago. Yeah, let's just call it 2 years ago and say I'm in my early 20s. Can we do that? Like,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that OT and I have mastered the whole yin and yang concept. I think we do a great job with that, unintentionally. But again, thank you.
Oh, gosh. Thank you guys for joining us today, and hopefully you are indulging in a little bit of sun. We have half sun, half clouds here in New England, but that's rather typical. Now, you guys are Midwest, right? You live in Houston.
I live in Houston. It's been in the mid-80s, almost 90s since February, so.
Oh, Lord, send it to me, please.
We had 80s in March, and it broke all records of all time, and so we've been a little spoiled. So we're a little impatient this spring.
I'm originally from Miami, so it's been very challenging for the last 19 years living up here because I'm cold all the time.
Right now, I don't really understand it because I had to put on a winter jacket this morning. I actually live in Maryland.
You live in Maryland? Okay, so you're probably getting a little bit more like our weather.
Yeah, it's cold to me.
Oh, yeah, Lord. Shoot. All right, so we have another caller from area code 517, and we're going to turn them up. The computer's being naughty. Hey, caller from area code 517. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you want to give us your name?
My name's Chad.
Hey, Chad. Welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty. And did you have any questions in regards to relationships? What did you want to talk about today?
That caught me off guard. I was just kind of listening in.
I do that. I'm like the evil Easter bunny that just wants to know.
That's our boyfriend. He supports everything we do. Rusty?
Yeah.
That's our boyfriend. He supports everything we do.
Oh, hey, boyfriend. High five.
Hey, high five.
High five, buddy. So let's get into a little bit of the conversation. My history, as most of my listeners know, but I don't know if Naima and OT are as familiar, I was married, partnered for 15 years. I am 360 years old. Not a bad looking lady. It's been a super long time since I've gone out in the dating scene. And out of the year and a half that I've been, you know, outside of this 15-year relationship, I've gone out maybe 9 times. And every single time I go out, for the most part, 90% of it, I go out with my friends. But, you know, I'm not fearless. I go out by myself, too. And boys don't court anymore. They do not court. They just want, you ready to go home? I'm like, excuse me? I'm here dancing. So it's been a huge world. Like, you know, it's been a huge eye-opener for me because back in my day, Naima, people would ask you for your number. They would ask you to, you know, go to a nice dinner. They would bring you flowers. They would court you.
Yes.
They'd play your favorite music. They, you know, it was more of a romantic courtship. Now they just drool and it's just a very gross experience.
And
do you have that issue?
Yeah, they pretty much just show up. Ironically enough, I had a discussion with someone that I met, and I guess we're dating, about a month ago, and I asked him if he agrees with bringing a woman flowers for the first date.
Mm-hmm.
He says no. He says that's not what he was taught growing up. And in my mind, you learn it growing up or you learn it along the way. And if you're in your mid to late 30s, then that's not what I learned growing up. It's no longer the reason or excuse.
Exactly right.
Right, so...
Now, do you date Naima? Are you married or partnered? Or
I'm not married. I go out every once in a while. I don't really like dating. I don't really like feeling like I'm being interrogated, 20 questions moment. If I meet someone and we hit it off and our chemistry is great, then that's fine. But if you have to bring out a notepad and checklist, all right, so you're 5 to, okay, check. I just can't do it. My job is intense as it is, and I don't need to have a sweat match with you because we're going down our list. So.
See, it's the exact opposite for me because opposite of you, Rusty, about a year and a half ago, I entered my first relationship in a really, really long time.
Right.
And so I get what you're saying because I was sort of a part of the evolution of dating. Because dating sort of all of a sudden became grocery listing because of the internet, because of internet dating and dating websites and, you know, just being in the age of instant gratification, you can go onto a computer and type in everything you like about somebody and then 500 pictures pop up. You get to weed through those pictures and decide, okay, do I want to date this person? Do I want to date that person? And everything is really instant. It's like, okay, I don't have to take the time to get to know what you like because it's all listed right here on this website. And I think that's become a major problem in dating. Major. Because everyone expects everything to happen quickly. Like you said, you know, you meet a guy and now he wants to go home the same day.
Yeah, it's you know, in the dating websites, I think they're appropriate to a degree. But there's also a little bit of mystery and spontaneity and conversation that I think people should have. And I have been dating, and I've found that people who are 30 and younger tend to have conversations with you via text or email versus picking up the phone saying, hey, honey, I miss you. It's
right.
You get a text message, oh, I miss you. Okay, why couldn't you pick up the phone to tell me that, you know? So that's also been very new to me, too, because I'm in my mid-30s, and we didn't have text messaging and cell phones pre-marriage for me. We didn't have that.
Right.
It wasn't something that was, you know, it really, really hit when I got into college and later, but I was already partnered with somebody, so... So it's just a very non-verbal...
And I saw the deterioration. Having older children, I have children. Obviously, I'm going to be a grandmother, so I have children that are almost 24 and 22. And when they were dating, and compared to when I was dating, the courtship already had deteriorated even, you know, 10 years ago where, you know, my daughter says, you know, so-and-so is picking me up, and I'm like, really? Is he coming in to meet me? Because you're not leaving. Unless I at least lay eyes on this person.
Yeah.
And your stepfather lays eyes on this person. And your brother lays eyes on this person. And she's like, Mom, so, you know, they don't expect to do that. When I was dating as a young girl, you didn't even think about going anywhere with a boy unless your parents had met him. It just was not done. You just said, well, you have to come meet my parents. And once they met them, and then, it, you know, it pretty much was okay. And that's what I was trying to tell my daughter. I said, if he can't come to the door and meet me, you're certainly not getting in a car with him. So,
so
you know, I was pretty, you know, glad that I was out of the dating game. I didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, you know what? You make a very valid point, and your daughters are lucky to have you because you set the tone for how they should expect to be treated by a significant
mm-hmm.
other. And I think the problem now is that the expectation is no longer there. Like my
mm-hmm.
friend used the excuse that that's not the way he was taught. And a lot of women, younger women, give up themselves a lot earlier than what would normally be expected of men. I know a guy that's from the South. He
mm-hmm.
moved up to Washington, D.C., and he compared the difference in how women expect to be treated from the South versus how they allow themselves to be treated in a more northern state,
mm-hmm.
whereby the things that he was accustomed to doing for women, courting them and such, he's become a little lax with it because of how women allow themselves to be treated. So I think
mm-hmm.
that, one, there needs to be more view, given those lessons to women, and two, I think that for my friend and any of those other guys that feel the same way, don't give up on what it is you know what it is you know is treating a woman well, because there are some women out there that don't hold themselves to that standard.
And, you know, even though I did do that, there still was a lack in the communication between, you know, her dating and the boys that would come and had no problem with me. She found, you know, wow, Mom lets me do this with him and that with him, and it's because I trusted him, because he came and he built a relationship with me as well and made me feel comfortable with my daughter being with him. And I didn't care what his background was. I only cared about this is the way it is here, and that's the end of it. And if you don't like it, then next.
My favorite
right.
line, next.
So
caller, hold on 1 second, OT. Caller from area code 201, did you have any questions?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, we have a caller
not.
from area code 201. Pipe in. The phone lines are open. This is an open discussion on relationships, so if you have something that you want to add, we are here to chat. So go ahead, OT.
What I was going to say is, like, from a male perspective, and I don't know that I was taught it. I'm not certain. I can't say that I was, but I'll go ahead and give my mom credit because she's awesome and say that I was taught that, you know, when you date someone, you're dating their lineage. You're dating the family. You're dating
mm-hmm.
their friend. Like, it's important to get to know those people and build a relationship. You know, in my current relationship, it was really important for me to meet, you know, the mother and the sisters and the son, and
mm-hmm.
because all of those people, regardless of how I skew it or how I see it, they're going to be a part of our relationship in some form or fashion. You know, because
mm-hmm.
if they hate me, then that's going to be the constant battle. If they love me, then it's going to be a constant vie for attention. You know, so it's really, really important to, you know, sort of gain foothold of the situation that you're getting into when you decide to date someone, because there are very few people who live alone in this world, who don't have
mm-hmm.
friends, who don't have family members, and are completely self-reliant. And so it's really important to, you know, make those efforts. Even if you don't, you know, do it on the first date, you know, do it at some point. Do it very early in the relationship before you start to go too far, you know, because you want to be aware of those sorts of things.
Wait, when you say do it early on, do you mean make an attempt to meet your friends and family early on?
Yeah, I mean make an attempt to be open to the idea, to let the let this person know, like, you know, it'd be awesome if I could meet, you know, some people in your life. And by extension, invite those people into your life. Let them meet some of your friends. You know me. You know how I am. Ema,
but that's the next question. How soon is too soon?
That's a great question.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, we've had this
topic. That
would
depend,
on our
I guess, on what age you,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're talking about a teenage girl, that's different than a grown woman.
Right. Well, I haven't been a teenager for a long time, so I can only talk
I stayed
from
at
a very adult perspective. And I would say that too soon is when you're not ready.
Good answer.
That's it.
Well, and
hey,
I think
long,
you definitely have to have a relationship vibe, and if you guys are, you know, hanging out and it feels kind of longish termish, that would probably be that. I know, right? That would probably be about the time that you would bring something like that up. You know, it's weird when you're an adult because the circumstances, and I'm a single parent, so I own two companies, and I'm always on the go. When I do have an opportunity to go and see my friends, you know, that's really a priority for me. So I don't know when to add a person. Hey, I'm going over to my friend's house. You want to go?
I think it's just more of a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Because I've had girlfriends that have, you know, changed partners throughout our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what substantiates them bringing them to a family gathering or, you know, something of that nature. That's why I meant by the age thing. I mean, obviously, that boy wasn't going anywhere with my daughter without meeting me, as 16, 17-year-old girl. But, you know, as an adult, and I did the dating game with children. I had a 2- and a 3-year-old at 25 years old when I became divorced. And, you know, bringing home somebody didn't happen. It didn't happen in my world because my children are not going to be thrust into this relationship with someone, you know, when I don't know where it's going or anything. Not that I was keeping it from them, but really, in a way, I was because I had to feel this person out, to feel if he was worthy to, I guess, for lack of a better word, of being involved with my children.
And the inclusivity. So, OT, you said last year was your first year in a while dating. How long was it that you were not
single?
Partnered?
Yeah, for about seven years, I was, as I like to candidly say, whoring. And
dog master.
Yeah, that was pretty much what was going on. I mean, I was just casually feeling people out and feeling them up and seeing how it went.
I love your truthfulness.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Sometimes it worked out for a month or so, but I mean, literally over a 7-year span, I wasn't involved with anybody in a substantial way for more than about 2 months.
So while you were sowing the seeds of love, give me an idea.
I love it.
I like how she says it.
What was the hang up for you? I mean, 7 years is a long time to, but,
there,
you know, hey, I'm jealous too in some ways. Only guys can get away with that. You know, they can,
right.
You can be a man whore, but a woman cannot do that. So it's so funny.
Right.
The next topic.
Oh my God, I didn't get the memo.
I love her.
We're going to have to meet her.
So what were some of the hang-ups that you ran into with
The biggest issue that I always ran into was that either the person liked me too much or I liked that other person too much. There was never a real sense of balance. There was always one of us who liked the other more, and somehow or another you start to use that against the other person when it's convenient, and then you also use it against them when it's time for you to move on. You're like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you're too into me. Like, you want too much of my time. I don't want to hang out every day, you know, but that just shows that you're not really into that person, because right now I'm partnered and that's all I can think about is getting home and, you know, making that phone call or sitting and having a conversation or holding hands or whatever. I love doing all that stuff. But when you're not into somebody, those are the little things that all of a sudden become an annoyance.
Like,
oh, God,
you call
every day. You know, it's like you're supposed to call every day if you like somebody. Why is that bad?
So you get the current relationship, it took you 7 years, but the current relationship, you get the little flitters and flutters in your belly, and you're kind of ooey and
every
and snuggle
single
buggy.
Time. It's awesome. Yeah.
And that's perfect.
It's very syrupy.
Yeah, yes, we do.
So, Naima, what is your experience? What is the coming from a female's perspective, I mean, how long have you been up kind of sort of dating?
Whew. Let me count on my fingers.
She's cute.
My last official relationship, I have to say, was in, what, 06, OP? 06, 07?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, about 06,
yeah.
07.
And so since then, I've been involved with a few people long-term, not enough that it turned over into a relationship.
Gotcha.
And I can't really explain to you why. OT and I have had discussions about it, and he is of the belief that I've not forgiven myself for the last relationship, so I'm punishing myself by dealing with a-holes and...
Oh, you're an a-hole magnet, too. I thought it was just me.
But they sometimes disguise themselves very well.
Sheep and wolf clothing.
Here in the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, I find that men are a little passive-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And they put more of their responsibility on you. They say
mm-hmm.
things that would lead you to assume that there'll be some action, but they put more of their responsibility on you. Let me just give you a quick example. One guy, we've known each other for a few years, and he keeps saying he wants more from me, but, you know, if that never happens in action, then it'll never happen.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a text, there's that text communication again, that said, "I really miss you, I want to see you, make plans." Did you hear what I said? I really miss you, I want to see you, .. make plans for us.
Hell no, I'm not your mother.
I would have went, really?
You're a big boy, you show up.
I didn't respond. I just said, really?
We so have to go to Maryland.
I know.
I go through the same thing. All right, so continue. What other kinds of things?
I think the whole passive aggressive thing has been the more constant. And I'm impatient.
I was going to do the same thing, so I'm happy you started.
let me throw my things out there a little bit. I'm a little impatient. One of my good friends told me that I should have gotten married in my early 20s because now I don't give guys that time period where they need to feel you out.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's a 1 to 2 year time frame where they're allowed to just play games with you.
Hell no.
And then it all comes together. And I get annoyed with that. I'm impatient with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did it the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found someone younger than me, not a lot younger than me, but and was able to train that person. Not that he isn't his own person, but he was very young. He was 22 when I was 25, and I had two children, and I really did not think that was going to go anywhere, you know, planning on that. And I'm with him 20 years later in July. We'll be together 20 years. And
oh, wow.
We
awesome.
Have that, you know, that giggly, bubbly in the belly still feelings, which I'm very blessed to have. And I hope everyone on the planet can feel that. But he didn't have a lot of other relationships before me. So it was almost like a molding of me and him as far as what we each other needed. And I think that was a good balance. At least it worked for me.
Right. That's great. See, for me, it's been learning to get over myself, for lack of a better term, and not meaning
mm-hmm.
like do a backflip, but like typically, like really, I had become so accustomed to myself and living with myself and taking care of myself and doing on my own, and I was satisfied with my life, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you have to figure out how to pull this other person in. How do you make time? And for me, I had to get over my stubbornness. I was accustomed to my single life, and although I knew I wanted this relationship, I still had a single mindset, and I still exhibited a lot of single behaviors. And that was one of the main problems that I needed to learn how to get past in order for my relationship to flourish as it's been flourishing. You know, because, you know, and Naima actually is the person that told me this, you know, a lot of times when you get into a relationship, you still have very single behavior. You have single habits, and you have to get rid of those immediately.
So and what's a single habit,
you are setting
OT?
Yourself up for failure. Single habits, not answering to people. You know, when if you're in a relationship, you have an obligation to tell that other person what you're doing, even if you don't like doing that. You know,
I'm going to hang
out with my friend. You know, I'm going to the grocery store. It's simple things like that. You know, you have an obligation to answer the phone when they call or call right back as soon as you're available. You can't just say, oh, well, I'll get to Naima later and call her 2 days later. No, this is your partner. This is the person you're attempting to create a life with. You have to not do those things anymore. And that's really difficult.
Did you feel like, see, the way I know you were saying that, and that's huge, I think, because in a lot of relationships, especially if you've been single for a long period of time or you're very young, when you say, I'm going to go somewhere, you almost feel like you're asking permission. But you really don't have to ask permission. You're just
being courteous
to letting that other person know where you are so that person doesn't worry.
Making them aware. Exactly.
Right.
It's making that other person aware of your life. Because, you know, okay, my relationship is long distance. I live in Texas and he lives in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And a big portion of what goes on is that the little things that people don't think mean anything are the things that build our bond. I come home and detail as we're talking on the phone what I'm doing. Oh, I just took off my clothes. I'm sitting at the dining room table. I turned on this television show. I have some food, you know, thawing in the kitchen. Because those are all the sorts of things that if this relationship is going to work, that person's going to have to learn to deal with.
Right.
So it's important that they know those little things because it gives you an opportunity to gauge, okay, is this behavior a deal breaker? Is this behavior something I can deal with? Those are the sorts of things that make and break a relationship. And it's important to lay that stuff out. But as you said, so many people get caught up in this mindset of, well, I don't have to answer to anybody. I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not answering to anybody. It's making yourself accessible.
Yeah, it's been very interesting on my end. And I don't know if Naima can chime in, but I have been dating somebody who's 10 years younger than me, which is interesting. And he's not a PDA person at all. And he does, you know, he does definitely have this little, what you termed as single behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a lot of that. But, you know, the whole, again, we're 10 years different, so that's probably a huge part of it. But I have a six-year-old daughter, and I'm thinking, well, if there's a 10-year difference and we've lost our sense of romance and courting, what is my daughter going to have when she gets to be my age, you know? So what is it like for you guys? And, again, the phone lines are open, so if you've called in, you're more than welcome to chime in. What is the whole courting process like now? What do you guys do? What do you expect? What do you want?
Well, I guess I can start. But for me, because this relationship is long distance currently,
yeah,
the courting process has been extremely difficult, but the best one I've had. Because the distance has forced us to really talk. It forces us to really get to know each other because it removes all of the physical pressure of spending time, you know, talking, holding hands, the sexual aspect. All of that is removed when you're 1,700 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, really have to get an understanding of the person at the core. And that's where our yin and yang, you know, come in. That's where we bond. You know, that's where we figured out that, you know what, this is the kind of person that I really, really need in my life. And it's not so much want, because sometimes you get so caught up in, okay, I know what I like and this is what's best for me, just because you like it doesn't mean it's the best thing for you.
Amen.
I like ice cream, but it's not great. You know, it's not the best thing I can do to my heart or to my arteries, but I love it.
And that's funny because the person that I've been seeing, the relationship is ending because of the type of work he does. He's leaving for 3 years. So, but it's very shocking to him when we first started dating. I was very clear. I don't need you, you know, because there was this sense of like, oh, you know, you're recently divorced. And I needed to make that territory. And Naima, you can chime in anytime. But I don't need a man. I'm a successful business owner. I'm a single parent. There's nothing I need. I want you in my life. In your long-term relationship, or long-term and long-distance relationship, how do you really convey that creatively without being as brutally blunt as I am?
Unfortunately, I also don't have that filter.
Oh,
so.
Good. I knew we were going to be friends for life.
Yeah, I also do not have that filter.
Right.
So I am very outright about that, and I've told people that, like, I'm financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
I am educated. I'm attractive. I'm a nice guy at times, and I'm a good person. So
right.
I'm like, I don't need to have anybody around because there are so many people vying for my attention. I have lots of friends. So
right.
Because I want you to be there because you offer me the one element that I can't produce for myself, intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't give me that intimacy, then you don't offer me anything else because everything else that you bring to the table, I get that from my friends. I get that from my family. So if you can't give me the intimacy and the romance, then you're useless.
Yeah, but that's coming, and I am too, very blunt, right? But as a woman, you know, if he's a guy, you have to be a little bit more careful with how you deliver that message because men receive it differently.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
You don't want your independent stature, the fact that, you know, you own your own businesses, to overshadow the fact that you may want to be with this individual.
Oh, I don't argue that at all, but I also don't have the I'm not in a place in my life where, and I've never been a needy person. So for me, it's like, you know what, we can either run with this, make it happen, be wonderful with each other, enjoy our friendship, be romantic, or not, but don't look at me in a way that, you know, you can get away with some of the behaviors that you do, and I'm going to be okay with that. And and I love how OT called it the single behaviors because that's what I run into.
And it's funny how you talk about, you know, men and women and how they perceive things. Like, for instance, everyone's familiar with, you know, the book that's written about how men and women perceive love, and men perceive love in a more physical way overall, not really, you know, there are some exceptions, of course, on both ends, but women need to be emotionally invested in a relationship before they're intimate, and men seem to want, and that's, it's natural, it's nothing wrong with it, but when you actually realize that, that's when all that kind of bickering between sex and things end, because you have to kind of keep in mind their needs as well as them keeping your needs as well. I think that's what happened with my husband, is we kind of get that about each other. Like, his needs and my needs, we kind of get each other, so we accommodate each other that way. You know, like men, you know, they think when you have a fight, they think that, you know, sex fixes everything. And I'm not saying every man. I'm just saying what my experience has been. You know, and women, they want to have a talk. They want to talk it out. They want to explore the whole thing. And men are like, no, I just want to make up, you know. They think it's a magic wand or something. I don't know. But
sometimes.
It can be.
Say it again, Naima.
Sex doesn't fix everything.
It can be a Band-Aid sometimes, but, you know, it's I find that, and that's what I do in my practice when I, you know, because I have people and I'm working with people with, you know, Reiki and stuff, and they talk to me. It's almost like having a, you know, a therapist session. And that's what I tell them. I said, you have to keep other people's needs in mind, not losing yourself, but you need to, that's where that yin and yang come. And you have to give a little, take a little. You know, sometimes you got to swallow and do something for somebody that, you know, yeah, all right, well, I'll just do it instead of being selfish about it. That's what's part about being in the relationship and not having that single mindset, is to actually be an active part of the relationship and give that give and take.
So, Naima, if hypothetically, if for you, what would make you as a woman feel like it's a worthy relationship in regards to courting and attentiveness, and what are kind of your basic requirements for dating somebody and being serious?
So there's a big thing for me. I need for you to make me feel like I matter, above all things. And however that plays out in action, it needs to happen. Like, I don't ever want to feel like I'm questioning my position in your life. And it's everyone's equal responsibility to make the other person feel like they matter. If that's in, and I'm very simple. I call me simply complex. Most people think I'm complex, but I'm very simple. If it's a phone call in the middle of the day to say, hey, I just wanted to hear your voice, see how you were doing, just simple things that make me feel like I matter in your life. If that, and that includes,
yeah.
I need to feel in a relationship like I can be vulnerable. And if I constantly feel like I have to be on guard with my feelings and being able to open up to you, then it's not worth it.
Right. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We have fabulous Naima and even fabulouser OT and Chad out there, and we're all talking. We've had a few people call in. We've had a few people call out because they didn't want to talk, which is totally cool. But if you want to give us a call and join in on the conversation and give us your two cents and help this old lady try to figure out this whole dating scene now, because I don't even go out anymore, give me a call. The number here is 347-205-9443, and go stretch your legs, stretch your body, stretch your mind. We're going to take a couple of seconds off.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Out there in Radio Land, we have some questions from actually all over the world. I have a friend in Italy who I use Google Translate with, and she's very, very sweet. And her topic or question for the crew today is sex. When is too soon, and how long should you hold off, or is there rule of thumb really? Is there a rule of thumb when you're dating? You know, like for me personally, I would rather court a little bit for a while, but I'm old school. But other people, they're, you know, obviously are within 30 seconds. What are your thoughts in regards to when is a good time to have sex?
Well, since you already talked about me, about as far as people who believe it's okay in 30 seconds, I guess I'll start since you put me out there.
I didn't put you out there. I was talking about the guy.
Kevin in 30 seconds. I just felt like that was me.
No, not you. No, I'm not picking on you. But there are a lot of you like.
Yeah, oddly enough, Naima and I, this was one of our first show topics when we started our blog talk radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And what the general consensus was is that you can't really put a time frame on something like that. You have to do it when you are ready to accept the consequences of the action. And by consequences, that means the emotional consequences, the physical consequences, because you could wait a month, you could wait a day, you could wait a year, and it doesn't mean anything. I mean, because you don't really know the other person's intentions. If the other person that you're with, if their only intention is to have sex with you, they're going to wait until they get to have sex with you. And then once they have sex with you, if that was their end game, then they're going to end the game right after they have sex. And that could be a year. But, you know, if it's, you know, something substantial, then, you know, it may go further. But it really all depends on when you are ready to accept the consequences of the action. And consequences don't have to be negative, you know, but you just have to be prepared that, what's the movie? It's Vanilla Sky. It's the worst movie ever, but one of the most important lines in that movie is when you have sex with someone, your body makes a promise with that other person's, even if you don't. And that's something that always resonated with me, because is a connection of the body, and there is a certain chemistry that happens when you have sex, even if you don't want it to. So you just have to be careful about what you're giving off and be certain that you're ready. And for me, that has no time limit.
You know, that could be on all different levels, because there, you know, I guess, you know, you have a primal instinct, your physical instinct, and sometimes, you know, it can be that quick response thing that just, you know, just happens. I know personally, I have to have more of a emotional connection with someone to feel comfortable being intimate, but that doesn't mean everybody does. And I love what you just said. You, as long as you're accepting the responsibility of what can transpire by having sex, and you're really resonating with that, then, you know, you're an adult, and it's not, I don't think there should be, you know, like my mom would say, at least the third date.
Right.
You know, I think it's between two people, and, you know, really, to be honest, nobody has to know. You know, if that's what you want to do and you feel comfortable with it and have no feeling, you know, negative feelings afterwards, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
For me, it's always based on the kiss.
No, you're not going to be kissing me anytime soon, right?
No, I'm not kissing you. You're married. Chad would jump and go through the roof. Naima, what are your thoughts? Did we lose her? Did we lose her?
No, she's good.
She's sleeping. She's like, yeah.
No, we can't hear you. It sounds like we can. She was going in and out. What's wrong with your phone?
I'm here now.
Okay, there you are.
She's
so we were on that. We were on that same show together. So he kind of summed up what our views were collectively on that show. And I am a firm believer in that it's always different for women than it is for men, because we carry it more emotionally than anything. So I think that women should do a little gut check and make sure you're prepared for any and everything that can go down after that sexual encounter, because a lot of times for us, it's supposed to lead to a more emotional connection, and sometimes that doesn't happen right away. And if you're not prepared to deal with it, you'll think, oh my gosh, he doesn't like me anymore. But no, it's not really the case. It's just that for him, sex didn't change the path that you were already going.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
mean that he doesn't want to travel that path with you anymore. So
do you guys think that women tend to be a little bit more reserved? Than NOT, I'm going to have to throw this at you because you're the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think? Okay.
Yeah, I do, and there are lots of reasons. Of course, you already discussed the double standard. You also discussed the emotionality, but there's also a socialization process that starts very, very early. Women are taught, you know, if they have, I try not to use judgmental terms, so I'm trying to frame this properly. when women have positive role models, that was a good one. Yeah, when they are typically taught that their sexuality, their virginity is a precious gift, mm-hmm. you know, and it's only to be shared with certain people. Whereas mm-hmm. men, we are taught dominance. We are taught that we are to exhibit our virility by dominating the other, which is the strangest conundrum, because unless you want all men to be gay and dominate each other, who are these women that they're going to dominate, because you're teaching women not to have sex?
Exactly right.
It's the strangest thing ever, but it's what goes on.
I love you guys.
Let me double standard part for a second, if I can.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of male friends, and I think in more than one occasion I told them in plain English, you guys are stupid. If it wasn't for the double standard, you could have sex with women on the first night every time you meet a girl. If we weren't so concerned about the double standard, then we may be a little bit more open to giving you some. So, like, a lot of women are concerned about, well, what a man might think about them after it actually happens. And if that
right.
wasn't held over our heads, then there'll be a lot more sex happening.
All of us would be sowing the seeds of love.
Right.
We'd all have summer children. Some are here and some are there.
Yeah, mine are June, July, August, September. Just saying.
Wow.
We know she likes the winters.
Wow.
time. So if anybody wants to join in on the conversation and give us your two cents in regards to sex, relationships, the do's, the don'ts, the ins, the outs, whether you're married, divorced, separated, single, or whatever it is, give us a call. We have about 30 minutes left. The number here is 347-205-9443. And currently we are talking about double standards and sex. So do you have any questions, Amy? I know you've been out for about 20 years out of the game.
Yeah, well, I guess out of the dating game, yes. But, you know, I have a lot of friends that are younger than me that have, you know, been divorced and, you know, are still single. And, you know, they, you know, I used to go out with them, and I don't do that anymore. it's too complicated.
Somebody's playing a video game.
Yeah, it's too complicated to go out as a married woman. For some reason, when you go out, and if you're attractive in any way, shape, or form, they just you're like open game, and I'm very uncomfortable feeling that way. You know, I love going out with my girlfriends, but as I watch my girlfriends and how they interact and how they, you know, it's really fun to watch how different girls put their face on. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And
yeah.
you know, some are a lot more right at the gate, and some are, you know, just the fishing rod reeling them in. You know, and it's actually quite fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, "Oh, she's gonna do this, and what do you think of him? And what do you know?" And I'm kind of like the person that they're going to, and it's almost like I feel like I have control of who they're gonna go with, and you know, so
the
it's
next
kind
Fianza.
Of yeah, it's a fun game, but. I had an experience once where a girlfriend and I, we were engaged. I wasn't married yet, but we were both engaged, and we just wanted to go out and dance.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's
all
so
we
hard.
Wanted to do.
Oh, my God.
And so we're dancing, and we're having, you know, a good time, having a couple of drinks. That's what we intended to do. And we get approached by this mob of military guys, what we found out later, and they weren't taking no for an answer.
I was just...
You know, nice at first, no thank you. Then they come back, how come? I just said no thank you. And then they come back and they're like, what's wrong with me? I said, I just said no thank you. I am engaged. Well, why isn't your man here? I don't need a man to go anywhere. Thank
right.
you very much. And then they continued. So I let the waitress know, you know, they're pretty much harassing me, and I'm a little nervous to leave this building and go to my car at this point.
Right.
And I don't like that part. I wouldn't go out in the dating game for all the tea in China right now, I'll tell you.
Amy,
I can give you an easy fix, Amy.
Yes.
Mace.
Hang out with your gay boyfriends. Any club and dance all night. Nobody's going to do anything except maybe touch your boobs.
OT, let me tell you a story. So I went out with some of my gay boyfriends and even my partner. We went out to a gay club, and I'm living La Vida Loca, loving every minute, having a frickin' blast. Guess what walks in? A whole group of people, and I don't know if they didn't realize that they were in a gay bar, but it would not stop harassing me. wouldn't let it go. And I'm going, seriously, I'm in the one place that you're not supposed to like me.
We're
right. Wait, friends. Okay. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be my girlfriend.
So here's the deal with that. We did a show, and part of the show, I did some research online, and there was a poll that said as far as men dating, they should go to gay bars. Straight men should go to gay bars because
they let
the
our
women
secret
that
out.
Are in there are on there, their defenses are down because they don't expect to be hit on. They're more fun, they're more vibrant. So
we need to put a damper on that poll.
I know. Who squealed? That was my favorite too. I was so bummed. I'm like, really? I can't even. Oh, dude, leave me alone. I'm just dancing.
It's so funny that you mentioned that.
It's weird because that's why I really don't go out dancing anymore, because I feel like when I go out, even if I go with girlfriends or even my husband, one time I was there, he went to the bathroom.
That's because you're so
young.
And a
guy came up to my table and sat in his chair. And I looked at him, I go, what are you doing? I go, have you been here in the last 10 minutes? Because my husband is sitting with me. He's like, well, he's not here now. And I said, well, if he comes out, you're going to be part of that wall over there. So if I were you, I would leave.
I need a picture of you right now.
What did you say?
I need a picture of you right now.
Oh my God.
Go Amy White Craigie on Facebook. You can take a look.
Is this all new to you, OT? Or were you one of the guys that just wouldn't take no?
I was a hound, period. Like, I still am. Like, I am aggressive. Let's just put it out there. If I see something that I'm interested in, I'm going. And if I believe for a moment that I have an opportunity, I will put my finger in there and rip it open until I can fit. But I'm also I also have very good instincts, and I know when someone's not interested. And if you're genuinely not interested, I back down, because I don't have time to pursue somebody that's not interested, because then I can't take home the person that is interested. So I was on the prowl constantly. And I was, you know, I was aggressive, I was forthright, but, you know, I was also upfront. Like, I would meet somebody and tell them, you know, I think you're really cute and I want to have sex with you, but I'm not interested in anything else.
See,
then
you're
upfront and honest, and, and if that person chooses to have sex with you, then that's their choice.
Right, and for some people it didn't work.
So what is it like for you, Naima?
All same way. I go up to someone, and no, I'm just kidding.
You would rip them open too, hungry little she-wolf there?
I could only count one time that I had, I'll call him a stalker in the club, for lack of a better term. But I'm so fun, like when I'm out.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we all just have fun with each other. Like,
Naima is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd like to find. We need to develop a place for like people like me, who don't want to be the meat on the hook, hanging there, waiting for someone to pounce. I love to go dancing, and I like to hang out with my girlfriends, but I just don't feel like, even my girlfriends that are looking there are single. I feel very uncomfortable going out because
then you do not ever want to go out with me, honey.
No. Well, no, I can handle it. I'm just uncomfortable, and it's really not me. Like, I can handle it myself, and I'm not saying my husband is, you know, this wicked jealous guy, but it makes him uncomfortable. So that's
right.
Where you give the give and take. You know, don't get me wrong. On different occasions, I do go out. I am my own person. My husband does not tell me what to do. But I also, in the meantime, I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable or make him feel
right.
insecure. So, and what I've done with our relationship is it's kind of like, you know, what he's comfortable with me doing. And he'll be honest with me if he's comfortable with it or not. And I have to take that in consideration because I'd want him to give me the same consideration if I felt uncomfortable with, you know, a situation that he would be in. You know, I would want him
right.
to take my feelings in consideration.
Yeah, and I've noticed how in the dating world, at least for me, and again, I've resurfaced, there's not a lot of consideration that way.
Mm-mm, there really isn't. And
so,
it's really...
It's wild because you don't really have those conversations, and when you try to have those conversations, it seems as though there's no reception.
Well,
do you guys
again,
find that?
It goes back to that whole age of instant gratification thing because people have become accustomed to, like, there's no interpersonal communication anymore. Everything is behind a computer screen or behind some sort of electronic device. You don't have to connect with people. I mean, even now, I mean, this is awesome. We're connecting with each other via the telephone, but there's a dialogue. You can hear the inflections in my voice. You can hear my emotions. So those sorts of things are important when you can't see a person. You can't hear emotion in a 140-character text message. You know, you can only interpret what you can from an email message. So it's important to have that interpersonal interaction. And when people aren't doing that, it bombshells everything else.
I totally agree with you. And I also, you know, when I tell my girlfriends that want me to go out with them, they think it's my husband, and it's not. And I tell them, this is my personal choice. You know, yes, I like to go dancing. Yes, you know, it would be fun. But do I want to put myself in a situation I'm uncomfortable with? And do I want my husband to be uncomfortable with what I'm doing? And I've made that conscious choice that he's more important to me than going out with my girlfriend that night, you know?
Right.
And I choose a different, you know, as far as like going out and dancing and my friend going and is legitimately looking to date, you know what I mean? I would rather my husband and I go with that girlfriend, you know?
Right.
And that's, you know, usually how it works now, and that's what we're comfortable with. But, you know, there's a lot missing in the communication. For instance, a lot of people, you know, when you do this in the workplace and you do this in relationships, sometimes the person on the other end of the computer or the text message takes what you're saying completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's a form of non-emotional communication, and we're trying to put emotionality behind it, and it's just not. It's defeatist at this point. You can't read emotion in an email, even with the little stupid smiley faces and sticking your tongue out face things that they have nowadays. That's great, that's cute, whatever, but that's not really giving me the sincerity that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why the whole computer age, yes, it's nice that, you know, busy people can go on the computer and plug in what they want and look at the faces and everything, but as you know, those profiles are only what those people make it. They don't have to be truthful with those profiles.
Correct.
So,
exactly.
You know, that's where
creepy.
It all is very creepy, and there's a lot of, you know, I've seen some success stories of people that met on the internet. My brother's one of them. His wife that he's been with for, you know, many years, they met on the internet, but it's, you know, that doesn't happen every day, you know. It doesn't happen every day, and I know people that have been using those dating services, and the stuff that they have to go, it's more of, I think, more of a job to do that than it is to actually go out and physically meet people.
I don't know. How do people that are super busy, that's the other question I have. Again, running around like a chicken with my neck cut off, I've got tons of projects. Trying to get this book out, trying to raise my six-year-old to the best of my ability, making sure that she has all of her activities going. How do people meet other people? What do you guys think?
Well, Ama, you start. I started every other one.
On the highway, on your way home from work.
You guys have that pinky thing too, huh?
True story. I've met.
Oh my God!
Where did she go?
Did her phone call drop? No, she has a problem with her face and her mute button. Unmute your phone.
That's exactly what happened.
Unmute your face.
So it's a true story. I did meet a guy that I eventually ended up meeting on the highway on my way home. In the airport. Like, you meet these people in passing.
Let me interrupt her for a minute. Naima is uncommonly beautiful. Like, Naima's one of those girls who's so pretty it makes you feel bad about yourself. So you can't really take everything because that doesn't happen to everybody. It happens to her because she's a 6 foot tall Amazon beauty. Like, she's so pretty.
So she's got a little Venus riding in her horizon.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of extra going on.
Well, that helps.
It does.
It does help.
It does help, but, you know.
Annoying sometimes.
How else? I don't work in an office. My office is my home.
I actually did online dating. When I relocated I'm originally from New Jersey, and when I relocated to Houston, I didn't know anybody outside of my biological family who'd come with me, or rather before me. And so what I ended up doing was I tried different online dating sites, and as you have both pointed out, you find out that a lot of these profiles are completely inaccurate. These people are presenting themselves as they would like to be and not as they are.
Right.
You also run into a lot of people who don't understand your text, you know, so you'll respond to someone and they misinterpret your text. And then all of a sudden, communication either ends abruptly or they believe something that's not the, you know, accurate because you're using terms that mean something different for them than it does for you.
So that was not successful for you?
It was extremely difficult, and it became annoying to the point where I just decided to shut myself off from a lot of different things, and for a while I shut myself completely out of anything emotional or even relational. I would just sort of brood, basically. Life changed.
So, Rusty, did you say you work from home?
I do. I work out of the house, which is a bonus. It's a blessing when you have a kid, but then I'm going, okay, now should I volunteer somewhere? Because the whole drunk guy bar thing, been there, done that, mug t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I love going out dancing, but no, thank you.
Here's what I would suggest. Instead of, you know, working from home all the time, take your laptop to like a Barnes & Noble's or sometimes and to places where you can connect and still do your work, but you can be seen by people because you're not going to get anyone working from home. If that's where you spend most of your time. And that happened to me for a while. Like, I would spend most of my time in the house when I wasn't working or traveling for work. And I realized, hey, I'm going to always be single because my teddy bears can't date me. They can't even afford to take me out.
Right.
And you need to be around, you know, you need to visit places or be around like-minded people that you want to attract. A bar is not a place to attract. And me knowing Rusty, that's not the place to go. Okay? I got lucky. I did meet my husband in a bar, but it was a fluke. I knew his family, and I saw, you know, his sister saw me. We started talking, and, you know, I don't normally go to this place. It was very a fluke situation. But that is not the place you want to meet somebody because they're, you know, most of the, you know, they're going out for, you know,
booty calls. Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that's not, you know, if that's what you're looking for, great. You know, that's your own business. But, you know, I think that people don't realize that, you know, they say, oh, I attract this and I attract this person, I attract that person. Like, I've had a lot of friends in my life that attract the same type of, you know, alcoholic, maybe people that do drugs or, you know, are not nice people because you're not going to the right places to meet the right people. You know, and I think when the online dating thing came on, it was great in the beginning, but now it's just escalated into a very non-personal guessing game,
oh,
to
God.
Say the least.
I got an invitation on my Facebook, my business Facebook yesterday from somebody, and it is a new dating app that they have on Facebook where you can flirt, chat, and wink.
Wow.
And I'm going, seriously?
Wow.
You know, how is that you know, effective, I guess? I don't know.
It doesn't sound effective at all. It sounds annoying.
No, because when you meet someone face-to-face, there's an energy that you pick
up
on immediately. There's more emotional centers that are being stimulated when you meet someone in person than there is reading a text or reading someone's bio on an internet page. You know, there's none of that pheromones to be, you know, there's none of that happening, none of that energy that creates some kind of, you know, attraction. I don't know. I guess I'm just an old school girl, but.
So, Naima.
I absolutely agree.
In regards to you, because you're as crazy busy as we are, you know, what other kind, do you go to the gym? How else do you meet people? I mean, I don't know how you met somebody on the side of the highway, but you can definitely divulge if you'd like.
So funny story. Like, he was in front of me, so he slowed down. I guess he saw me through his rearview mirror, and he slowed down. So I damn near almost hit the back of his car. And just kind of waved me over to the side. And normally I wouldn't do that, but we were in, at that point, we got into a bit of stop-and-go traffic. So I'm like, okay, we're not going anywhere anyway. And he ended up being a pretty okay guy. Let me just kind of think about the last couple times I've met people. So the last two significant people that I've been in my life, OT introduced me to one. He was, what, how many years younger than me? 7 years younger than me. And one I met while I was with OT in a mall in Houston. And when you talk about the connection that you have with people in person versus with text messaging or emailing or such, he and I had such a magnetic connection from the time we met each other. And then from that point on, every time we saw each other, the connection just wasn't there when we had to communicate outside of seeing each other. Yeah. I loved it, him.
It was very physical.
Right. Oh,
yeah. And I mean,
and when he says physical, it's not like it's always
sexual.
Physical,
right.
No, because the person that I've been seeing, the kiss was so electrical, the first kiss, and every single time thereafter, it was like I've never experienced anything like that ever. Literally electrical, like all the way down to the toes. And I've never experienced that before, so it's just, you know, it doesn't have to always be sexual, but it's that physical touch.
Right.
And that's you know, that's a primal instinct in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something to be ashamed of or to be suppressed, because that's how we were created. And, you know, I appear to be more reserved, some people may think, but I'm really not. I just don't put it out there as much as some other people do. But
right.
I, you know, definitely think that there has to be, I mean, people say, oh, sex isn't everything. Yeah, but it's right up there with oxygen, really.
Yes. It is definitely up there with oxygen.
Are you open to dating someone that's been just your friend for years?
I think if the passion and the connection is there, I think it's wonderful, because people that have that friendship, they already get each other. The thing that people are worried about is ruining that friendship. And now you're getting into your positive and negative self-talk. Just don't go there. Don't let things happen, you know, and just see where it goes, and don't put any expectations out there, because you may be missing, if you decide not to because you're worried that's going to ruin your friendship, you may be missing out on the best relationship of your life. And if it doesn't go that way, as long as you two maybe talk and have an agreement that if you feel this type of relationship out and you don't, it's not successful, that you're just going to put it behind you. You're not going to let it, you know, ruin your friendship. You know, I've had, I haven't really had like with like a best friend, but I've you know, had a relationship when I was younger with someone that I knew, you know, most of my life. And that was one of my fears is, am I, you know, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to lose, you know, potentially one of my good friends, you know. So I can see where people are a little hesitant about that.
Well, coming from an old lady's perspective, you know, I was in a relationship for 15 years, and one of my issues, we were together for 6 straight years. We moved in, oh, God, I think we were dating for 8 months, and then we decided to get an apartment together, and we, you know, basic husband and wife kind of stuff for 6 years, and then we finally got married. For me, it's always been important to have that friendship because you're going to fall in and out of love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a strong friendship and you have a strong communication center, that's how you fall back in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hello?
Yep. And, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I believe that what you just said is universal for any type of relationship.
Absolutely.
Because
love is love.
That exactly. Love is not enough. Like, you have to have that communication. You have to have that dedication to each other and to seeing it through. You know, one thing I tell everybody, you know, because I get a lot of discussions with people about, you know, when should they end the relationship. And I say this to everybody. You end the relationship when you've exhausted the possibilities. You don't bring up with somebody because something didn't work out and then try again 6 months later and then realize that didn't work and break up again and then try again 6 months later. You exhaust all of those possibilities
before you.
Exactly. You don't end a relationship until you've done everything that you know how to do. Then you call your mother. Then you call your cousin. You call
oh my
and
God.
You exhaust the possibilities.
Can I make
and
a
then if
broadcast
it still
announcement?
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Go
Chad,
ahead.
Chad, he's going to stalk you. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Say what?
that was a message for Chad. Chad, he's going to stalk you. Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. He is still there.
He's still there. I think he was playing
Chad
Scramble because I was hearing that in the background.
Chad's an avid listener. But yeah, you have to do that, and that is, but that's the communication, because basically what you're doing is you're saying, okay, this part of our relationship isn't working. How do we fix it? And then you try to fix it, and then if you know you have to know how to talk to a person. You have to know how to exhibit those sort of vulnerabilities that says, you know what, I'm willing to make the effort. And then
Absolutely.
When you're not. Yeah, that's what it boils down to. And, you know, again, sometimes love just is not enough. I mean, there are tons of people who love each other, who are in love with each other, that aren't together. So
right.
love isn't always enough.
And, you know, you can't lose yourself. I mean, you
right.
do make sacrifices to be in a relationship and that give and take, but you can't lose yourself. And I've had people ask, you know, when do you know, you know, when do you know enough is enough? And I say, when you completely lose sight of who you are
mm-hmm.
and you're not yourself and you're not able to be yourself, it's not a healthy relationship. And yes, it's hard to give up on a relationship that you've put so much time into. I mean, some people I know that have been in a relationship for over 10 years and it's like you've done it over and over, the breakup, the get back, the breakup, you know, something, you know, if you can't find what can, you know, make this relationship, you know, I truly believe that people need to live and let go because, you know, and it's okay if that relationship doesn't work. It's just not meant to be, and
mm-hmm.
you just got to let it go and not beat yourself up about it or feel like a failure. But that's what we do. So a lot of people will stay in that relationship just so they're not viewed as a failure. But they really are failing themselves because they're not being true to themselves.
So I'm going to throw a twist on you guys, and this is one of my favorite things. And again, you know, 15 years and last few, I absolutely realized I lost myself and absolutely realized that there was just nothing more I could do. And we've got 5 minutes left, So let's talk about the ending of relationships. I'm really clear that no matter what type of relationship it is, if you end it, if there's some sort of major change, you've got a grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys suggest in 4 minutes is the most healthy process for grieving?
Well, I, though I don't do this very well myself, I think that OT's approach is the best. Let it go until you get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop all communication. You need your time apart from that person in order to truly get over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a situation a year or so ago where there was the indication that we were in communication, that we were on our way to being more than just friends, and he decided that he just wanted to be friends. And my emotions, my feelings couldn't turn themselves around as quickly as he wanted that decision to be made. But I decided, okay, I really want this person in my life. Let us just be friends. And it ruined us because it was an emotional turmoil from that point on. So a clean break until you can get yourself together. Figure out where you are.
Yeah, because it almost gives you a sense of false hope if you keep, you know, if you don't have that closure part and that you know, that proverb that says you don't let it, you know, set it free, and if it comes back to you, it was yours. If it doesn't, it never was. It is so true because, you know, I've had an experience where I've let someone go just to figure things out, and they did, you know, they did come back. But, you know, if they don't, then, you know, it's better to go through that now than later when the feelings are going to be much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take, OT?
I'm a clean break kind of guy, and like Emma said, I have to take my time for me because my happiness is my responsibility. It's not anybody else's, and
mm-hmm.
I have to always ensure that above all else. And
mm-hmm.
what I typically do is clean break. No, don't text me, don't call me, don't email me. If we bump into each other by mistake, typically I'll just go away. But I need my personal time to heal. And
mm-hmm.
I won't do anything until I feel like I'm ready. And once I feel ready, then I'm okay. And I really am okay. You know, like, I'm fine being friends. I'm fine talking. I'm fine hanging out. But not until, like you said, I've gone through that grieving process. I've realized that this relationship is over. And I've had time to, you know, reassert my individuality outside of being a part
mm-hmm.
of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I actually would totally vote for the clean break part myself because you really do have to regroup and straighten up and go through the emotions, you know, especially if it was an important relationship. I don't think
mm-hmm.
your booty calls are anything
right.
to worry about. But, you know, intense relationships, I think there definitely has to be time in between. And it's just interesting to hear how other people are handling that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to wrap up, and I am so grateful to meet you, Naima and OT. Love, love, love having you guys on, and I think we should
awesome.
Do a part two because I have a feeling that there's a lot more that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we covered everything, but we kind of did. Let's see, sex. Booty calls, highway love, and so
highway love.
Right
here.
Highway love. Actually, up here in New England, a couple of years ago, they had a newspaper thing article that said if you're driving down the highway and somebody flicks their pinky at you, don't pull over, because that was some way of having like this highway booty love thing. And I'm laughing.
Oh, wow.
I'm ducking in my car, and I'm almost 6 feet tall, too, so I'm, like, trying to duck in my car going, hell no. No pinky for me.
Wow.
And my kid thinks that's just a little love.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, very grateful to have you guys on, and
thank you for having us.
It was so much fun, and just loved it. And Chad, the boyfriend, big high fives, lots of love to you as well for listening in, and all of our international viewers. Hopefully we didn't make you blush too much. I think we kept it a little PG-13 as best as we could. And hopefully we'll have OT and Naima on again. Can you guys give a shout out to your radio show?
Sure.
Thank you very much for that opportunity.
Yeah.
So we host the show called Blog Talk Radio. Nope, we don't. It's not. It's called. Okay, because it's hailing outside right now. Okay, it's called Not Your Typical Radio Talk. And OT and I are the hosts of that show. It's on every Wednesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 8 p.m. It may extend longer depending on the topic. Join in tonight. We have an advice hour, and we also have a guest host that's joining in, Joe Botany.
Sorry, say that one more time because you broke up on the last bit.
Oh, sure. I'll just repeat
I put Chad on, so let me mute him. Hold on. He's got
okay, yeah,
the show
is on tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We typically go an hour. Sometimes we go over. Tonight we're doing advice hour, which is basically relationship advice, pretty much some of the same things we're doing here. So
awesome.
Anyone that listens to the archive or was listening to the show, if you like what Naima and I had to say, you can call in and we'll answer your questions. You can email questions. We have a Facebook, facebook.com/KNOT, Your Typical Radio Talk. So, yeah, check
awesome.
Us out. Go like our page. It's amazing. We're fun.
I might slide in there every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Please
I listen
do.
To the archives because 7 o'clock is brush the teeth, put on the pajamas. No, Mama, I want to watch TV. No, we don't watch TV on a school night. That's the whole conversation, so I end up missing your show. That's how I roll. Anyway. Very grateful to both of you. I want you to have a wonderful time. Let's try to reschedule another time where we can do this again because it was a blast. And
awesome.
Absolutely to all my blessed beloveds out there. Love, love, love you. And so grateful to be your messenger. Without your input and encouragement, the show would not have even happened. So the show is definitely about you. What you need for inspiration, healing, mind, body, and soul. That's what we're here for. And let's review next week. I believe we did. Yes, we have my fabulous best friend, Roxy Zwicker, famous author, coming on. She's got a lot to say, and I have no idea how she does everything she does in one day. Crazy lady that she is. So looking forward to that. Feel free to Facebook me. Let me know what it is that you want to review next. We are booking July at this point, so if you have anybody that's cool, they have to be spiritual or holistic or relating to mind, body, and soul. So if you know of anybody that you would like to hear on the radio show, definitely Facebook me and let me know. I'm out, home dogs. Peace out. Love you. Have a stellar week, and I will hear you next Wednesday. Amy? No?
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.